Yeah. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. On Triple Play Thursday.
Yeah, Triple Play Thursday.
Pick an artist and three songs, and we'll play them on Triple Play Thursday as bumps coming back from commercials. Just call 312-981-7200 or text 312-981-7200. 262 area code requested some Head East.
Yeah.
Head East, and that, of course, has never been any reason. And, of course, can you pinpoint the moment that that's played in Dazed and Confused? Because I can. I think if you named every song from that's used in Dazed and Confused, I can tell you what scene it's used in. And that is quite an important thing to know. I'm not filling my brain with useless information. This is very important that I know that that song we just heard is played when they do a montage in the Emporium while they're shooting pool and playing foosball. That's very important to know. Every single song, where it shows up in the movie Dazed and Confused. I don't waste my life. Are you kidding me? I'm contributing to life by watching Dazed and Confused monthly. Okay, listen, we're going to get into some workplace TV comedies, you know, like TV comedies that take place in the workplace. And then we're going to talk about movies that take place in the workplace. Phil Rosenthal actually wrote a piece a few weeks ago when Gary Shandling passed away, talking about the Larry Sanders Show as being a really, really top-notch workplace comedy. So he put together a list of the best TV workplace comedies. And then that leads me to want to talk about what movies are accurate about your profession out there, 312-981-7200, and what movies are inaccurate about your profession. Sometimes you got to take liberty. Obviously, you have to take liberties, you know, and dramatic license for that. But sometimes it's very accurate. Sometimes it's very inaccurate. So if you've ever seen your job, your profession, your livelihood portrayed in a movie or on a television show, what are the most ridiculous inaccurate ones? What are the most accurate? 312-981-7200. Now, before we jump into that, I do have to tell you about my main man, Lou Manfredini. You know, Lou Manfredini and I still get mixed up. You know, I've told you this, right, Dan? It happens all the time, still to this day. Because we're both Italian, I guess? We have vowels on the end of our names?
And in addition to your vast knowledge of Dazed and Confused, you know how to fix plumbing.
Oh, yeah. Duct tape. That's my answer for anything, you know, home repair related. How do I fix a leaky roof? Duct tape. See, I don't know what you're going to do if you actually have woodpeckers that are eating your house. That's a weird, because then you've got some seriously different kind of woodpeckers, you know, because they don't eat houses. They peck. They're not called wood eaters. The birds are not called wood eaters. But again, duct tape. Just duct tape the woodpecker's face, and you're fine. You'll be fine. So join Lou Manfredini. That's the other Italian guy that's on the radio here. Lou Manfredini, he's going to be By the Yard on Saturday, April 23rd, for a live broadcast of the Mr. Fix-It Show. By the Yard is an outdoor furniture store right there in Vernon Hills. You can prep your outdoor space for spring by shopping the By the Yard showroom. It's filled with a huge selection of sustainable patio furniture and accessories. Enjoy breakfast treats, and you'll have the chance to win prizes during the broadcast, courtesy of By the Yard. Find more details at WGNradio.com/events, and be sure to join us at By the Yard, 900 South Milwaukee Avenue in Vernon Hills, on April 23rd between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. Get out there and watch Mr. Fix-It live, have some fun stuff and some breakfast treats. Get all the details at WGNradio.com/events. All right. Now, Dan, you've been in the radio business now for 46 years. Are there any shows or movies that have been portrayed close to reality in the world of radio, in your opinion?
No. I mean, you know, I'm a little too young for WKRP in Cincinnati. I've seen, you know, the reruns, but never experienced in its full glory.
Yeah.
I do get a lot of people like, oh, so you're like Roz from Frasier? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. And yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, now Frasier is interesting to watch. On both sides, I would imagine on both sides of the glass here, Dan, from your perspective and from my perspective, being the host and you being the producer. But that's not accurate. I mean, it's you know, there are things about it they capture a few things, you know, like how the producer and the host communicate between commercials, and while they're on the air, they have to hold up stuff or point to you or, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, the commercial breaks are wrong. I don't know. There's just the office setup is very strange. So now WKRP is not very accurate, although that's about an FM jock station. So it's an entirely different kind of thing. Now, dealing with the bosses is you know, something that we've had to do over the years here. And WKRP is, you know, they take a lot of liberties with that just for the sake of the comedy. Now, what did you think of Oliver Stone's talk radio?
You know, I've never actually seen it in its entirety.
Okay. That's about as close as it's gotten in terms of radio. No, I'm sorry. Actually, Private Parts is the one. Private Parts is the one. But talk radio is pretty interesting. So anyway, that's what we're talking about here. We got to take a break. We got the news coming up. And then we come back. What professions have been portrayed on television and in movies that are accurate or inaccurate? 312-981-7200. We'll go down Phil Rosenthal's list of TDB workplace comedies right after the news, which is next. You got to spell something. Yeah, man. Yeah, 262 requested some Head East for Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. Since you've been gone. Yeah. All right. So it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about workplace television shows, workplace comedies, and movies, and how they portray your jobs. 312-981-7200. Is the phone number. Before we took a break, we were talking about, Dan and I were discussing some of the radio stuff. The most accurate in that regard, without question, is Private Parts in terms of, you know, radio and what it's like to be in radio and what it's like to deal with what it's like to deal with management in radio. And it's a great movie also, but it's very close to what it is really like, especially in the world of talk radio. And then the movie Talk Radio, Eric Bogosian movie, it takes some liberties, not 100% accurate, but pretty close. Pretty close. And now, Esmeralda, have you seen any of those? You've seen those movies, right? Have you seen?
I haven't seen Talk Radio, no.
Oh, okay. It's good. It's definitely, it's a good movie. It's you know, it's pretty accurate. Now, did you know that Oliver Stone, did you know this, Dan? You knew this, right? That Oliver Stone actually came to be interviewed by Roy Leonard for Wall Street. He came in town to be interviewed by Roy Leonard. And when he saw the studio downstairs, the one that used to be downstairs, Studio A Combo, he saw it and sent his production designers 2 weeks later to take photos and film in there. And he was going to use that as inspiration for the studio that they were going to use in talk radio because he was so impressed with it.
That's neat. No, I hadn't heard that.
And it didn't, you know, when you look at the movie now, he was inspired by some of it, but it doesn't look anything like, if you watch the movie Talk Radio, that studio where most of the movie takes place or where the radio scenes take place doesn't really look anything like A Combo did. It actually, the studio that they have, it looks more like this one, oddly. The one that I'm in right now looks a little bit closer to what they have in the movie Talk Radio. But now, Esmeralda, you've seen Private Parts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's great. It's great. And for a while, as I've mentioned before, I couldn't watch that movie. It was just, it was because the guy that Paul Giamatti played was our boss here between 2008 and 2010. The program director that Paul Giamatti played in the movie, in real life, that guy, the real guy, was our boss. And it was not a pleasant time to work at this radio station at that time. In fact, it was a nightmare. And anytime if I were flipping through the stations, you know, cable and like Private Parts was on, I'd have to turn it off, even though it's a movie that I love. So, but yeah, pretty accurate. So 312-981-7200. We'll get to Phil Rosenthal's list here of TV workplace comedies, but I want to hear about things that are accurate for you. And here's Oren on WGN. Hi, Oren.
Hi there. How are you tonight?
All right.
I was a medical technologist by profession for about 52 years, and the TV show Quincy,
yes,
was Quincy portrayed a pathologist who investigated murders and so forth, and the causes, and it was an excellent program, and he did a very good job, I think, of portraying what pathologists do, especially forensic pathologists, who are the professional pathologists that are handling investigations,
yeah,
due to death and so forth. I like that very much. As a medical technologist, we worked under the pathologists, and frankly, they are, in my estimation, one of the finest examples of the medical profession that I can even think of.
Wow. It's nice to know that Quincy was accurate then, because in addition to being a very popular and interesting show, and of course Jack Klugman rules. But yeah, it's interesting to know that's an accurate it was an accurate show.
You bet.
All right, thanks, Oren.
Okay, you bet.
All right, take care. There you go. Hey, you want to hear a really funny story? Patty Vasquez and I were talking briefly one night, and Quincy came up, the show Quincy. And this is just this was a very, very strange thing. This was very, very odd, and I don't know what the odds are, but Patty and I were talking, Quincy came up, and then I said, you know, the only episode of Quincy that I remember, and there's only one episode, and I saw a bunch of episodes of Quincy, but the only one that stayed with me in terms of like being memorable that I never forgot. And I was about to tell her what it was. I was like, yeah, there's, you know, every time I hear a Quincy, I always think of this specific episode. And then she said, without any prompting, Patty said, the episode with the infected water fountain at the football stadium. And I almost fell out of my chair because that was the exact episode. Now, Quincy was on for like, what, 7 seasons? And that was at a time when they were doing like 26 episodes a year. So there's like 150 to 200 episodes of Quincy. And without saying a word to even hint at what episode I was thinking of, Patty jumps in with, yeah, the episode with the water fountain, the infected water fountain at the football stadium. And I remember when I was, it was the only one that stayed with me because it freaked me out. Like, I didn't want to go to water fountains afterwards because people were dying. And there was like some weird pipe thing happening. I don't remember exactly what the reasons were, but the only thing that I remember, the only episode that I remember any details about, any plot, was this episode about an infected water fountain at a football stadium. And I remember the one detail that I remember, and this, it was so funny because Patty and I were throwing out the same details of just this one episode of Quincy from the 80s. You know, this was an episode that aired like 30 years ago, and we're both like, oh, yeah, the episode with the water fountain. What? The one detail that I remember is that I guess they were doing, if I remember correctly, they were doing like construction or something at this football stadium on this episode of Quincy. And they were doing construction, and someone like put some plywood or a bunch of wood or boards in front of the water fountain, like the infected water fountain. and they couldn't trace it or something until they moved the wood and there was the water fountain that was killing everybody.
What was it?
I don't remember. It was just, you drink out of this water fountain in this football stadium, you end up dead. And then Quincy, because, you know, Quincy would always, the thing about Quincy, he would always take it one step further. That was Quincy. Quincy would not stop at one point. You know, like most investigators would go, well, that's all we've exhausted every avenue here. Not Quincy. Quincy would go one step further.
That got him results.
You're damn right it got him results. What was the Asian guy's name? Dan, can you look this up, his sidekick's name, his assistant? He was an Asian dude. He would always go, you're going to go one step further, aren't you, Quincy? And then Quincy would like, yes, exactly, I'm going to go one step further. And in this specific episode that only Patty Vasquez and I remember, that one step further was moving some wood so that they could find a water fountain. But I'll never forget that, man. Patty and I are on the air. We're talking about it, and we just both, at the same time, without saying a word to one another, we were both thinking of the exact same episode from over 30 years ago involving a damn water fountain on Quincy. So, but it's nice to know that Quincy was accurate. And that, you know, there was, seriously, after I saw that episode, I'm like, I'm not drinking out of a water fountain anymore. You know. You drink out of a water fountain, it kills you. That's not good, man. Now, do you remember that episode, Esmeralda?
No, I don't think I've ever seen.
You've never seen Quincy?
An episode of Quincy.
It's a good
I've
show.
Seen the ads and things on antenna TV and all that. But
yeah.
I've never sat down to watch a whole
Jack
episode.
Klugman rules. Jack Klugman was the man. Anybody who could step into the role of Oscar Madison after Walter Matthau plays it and does a great job, that's pretty good. Same with Tony Randall. You know, when you got Jack Lemmon and you got Walter Matthau, those are about as big as shoes as you can possibly fill. And Jack Klugman was phenomenal as Oscar. Now, Dan, did you find the Asian dude's name?
The character's name was Sam Fujiyama.
That's right.
The actor was Robert Ito.
Right. It was Sam. It was like, it was his, hey, Sam. Sam would always go, Quincy, you're going to go one step further. And then he'd go, that's right, Sam. I'm going to go one step further and find out why this water fountain has killed 6 million people.
Now, did he do it in a like, oh, God, you're going to go one step further?
No, he was encouraging. Sam was an encouraging man.
Well, that's good.
Sometimes Quincy was frustrating, though.
Right. I mean, but it sounded like he was getting things done.
Oh, Quincy,
like going one step further.
That's right. You know, nobody would have been able to find that hidden water fountain were it not for Quincy. They would have never moved the 2x4s that were in front of it. And
people would still be dying.
People would still be dying.
Because they wouldn't learn to not drink out of water fountains.
I don't know. I don't know why I find it so amusing that Patty and I had the same episode in our heads without saying. It was just a very weird moment. Like, I said, you know what episode of Quincy? And she goes, water fountain? And we both went, oh, my God. What are the odds of that happening, that two people are thinking of a specific episode of a damn show called Quincy? And it's ridiculous. All right. Okay, we got a break here and we'll come back. We're talking about workplace TV shows, workplace movies, what movies are accurate, what movies are inaccurate. Same with TV shows. We got Phil Rosenthal's list here of the best TV workplace comedies. And there are a lot of them, man, a lot of really good ones, too. So thanks for the information about Quincy taking it one step further, Sam. All right. Yeah. Triple Play Thursday. Again, 262 requested this for Triple Play Thursday. That, of course, is Head East and Jams. All right, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking about how people's workplaces or careers or jobs are portrayed in movies and TV and how accurate or inaccurate they are. In the world of talk radio, without question, the most accurate portrayal ever is the movie Private Parts, without question. Someone said, 815 area code says, what did you think of news radio? News radio is great. Well, first of all, news radio is a great show. Great show. Very, very funny. Featuring, of course, the pride of Joliet.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Andy Dick. Obviously, you know, the loss of Phil Hartman, when Phil Hartman died or was killed, and they had to, you know, replace him. Nobody could replace him, but the show was still good. It was a quality show. Accuracy in terms of radio, again, like KRP and like Frasier, it got some things right and some things wrong. What's really funny is that in all of the cases of thank you, Dan. And Dan, don't you think this is an odd thing? Dan just handed me a piece of paper, so he's in the studio here for a second. That in all of the cases, movie and TV wise, that portray radio, management is always inept.
Tell it like it is, except for now.
Yeah, we got great management now. But yeah, I mean, that's just the case. That's actually kind of the case. Well, it's a blanket statement, but that's kind of the case for most workplace shows, right? Like the bosses are usually idiots. That makes for, that makes for conflict. That makes for comedy. That's why that's the way it is. But for the most, like Stephen Root was an idiot on news radio. Hilarious, but he was an idiot. So, all right. But in news radio, though, it's a great show. Now, Esmeralda, did you ever watch news radio?
Oh, yeah.
It was such a funny show.
Totally. I love that show.
Yeah, it's a terrific show. Terrific. Robert says, as someone who worked in a bar, I think Cheers captured the fun that you could have. Okay, now I bartended and you bartended, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
I bartended for many years and you bartended for many years as well. I don't think Cheers is all that accurate, quite frankly. First of all, because it's a sitcom and it's, the whole idea that 60% of the people that are in there every day are alcoholics, that doesn't enter into it. Because Norm is an alcoholic. Nobody really talks about it. I don't know. I mean, as far as like movies with bartenders, well, the most ridiculous is Cocktail. That movie is ridiculous.
Well, I'm not trained as a TGI Fridays bartender,
yeah.
So I wouldn't know.
Well, you never flip bottles around like a jackass behind the bar?
No.
Oh, man. God, that movie. And I'm a big Tom Cruise fan, but that even me, like the president of the Tom Cruise fan club, I can't defend Cocktail. There's no defense of Cocktail. It was ridiculous. Who was the female lead in that movie? Was it Elizabeth Shue? I think it was Elizabeth Shue. Yeah. I think it was. That movie was ridiculous.
What else is there that they're bartending?
Barfly?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yes, Elizabeth Shue.
It was Elizabeth Shue, yeah. Okay. You know what else? Another reason why that damn movie sucks, that Cocktail movie? Because it's got that Kokomo song in it that song sucks. That's like the worst example of the Beach Boys.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on,
didn't Stamos play drums on that?
Yes, that's why we're defending it.
You guys are defending Stamos playing drums in the Beach Boys.
There was a very special episode of Full House.
I know.
The Beach Boys are always showing up.
I know. I don't want to. You know what? Right now, if Brian Wilson has his radio on, he's smashing it with a sledgehammer right now.
So is Chuck Berry, apparently. Very enlightening episode of the Nick DiGiulio show yesterday.
That's right. Exactly. But no, yeah, I mean, come on, Kokomo. What are you, nuts? That's a horrible song.
We'll get there fast.
Oh, God.
We'll take it slow.
Down in Kokomo.
I'm telling you, man, stop it. I mean, seriously, if that time period in the Beach Boys didn't kill Brian Wilson, you know, I mean, seriously. He's sitting at home, because Brian Wilson has some issues, as we all know. He's sitting at home, and he turns on Full House. He's flipping around. Here's Brian Wilson. He had some serious mental issues. Turns on Full House. There's John Stamos hanging out and playing drums with the Beach Boys, with his band. I bet he threw a TV out the window at least twice a day during that stretch of time.
What if he was jealous?
Wasn't jealous. He's like,
I want to be on Full House.
No, no.
Maybe he should go to Kokomo to work through that anger.
Well, so he can take it slow?
That's where they want to go.
I can't even describe to you. So cocktail, not very accurate. But Barfly is pretty accurate. Barfly is, if you ever hung out in dive bars.
Although my experience was a little Cheers-like.
It was kind of Cheers-like, but yeah.
You had a cast of characters that came in, and they were fun to talk to.
Sure.
And
but Cheers, they never, you know, you never had to kick anybody out in Cheers.
You never had to clean up
any puke.
I don't know what kind of bar you worked at.
Nobody ever got kicked out of any bar that you worked at.
No, I only worked at the one, Hungry Brain. So.
And nobody ever got kicked
civilized.
Out of the Hungry Brain? Hell, I almost got kicked out of the Hungry Brain on several occasions.
Almost. You see, almost.
All right, we have to break. When we come back, we'll talk about more. We got some texts coming in at 312-981-720. You can call us up. We're talking about workplace movies and TV shows here on GN. Say yes or say no.
I'm the man from the big B.A. What you gonna play around my way? Uh-huh. And listen to what I gotta say. Uh-huh. Simple thing. Don't you know I am the man? Uh-huh. Rock shows here in Japan. Have people shaking my hand.
I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing.
You got Esmeralda jumping out of her chair to dance to Aaliyah.
What the hell is this?
Aaliyah, are you that somebody?
Okay.
Oh, this is a jam. This is a jam.
Javon wanted this?
Yep.
Javon request. We got to hear three songs by this woman?
She was a legend before her untimely
passing. I know, remember she passed away. It was a car accident, right?
No, plane crash.
Plane crash. No, the car accident was Left Eye. She died in the car accident. I got the plane crash, the car accident. Yeah, Aaliyah, she was, you know what I remember? You know the only reason I remember Aaliyah? I don't remember any of her music. She's in Queen of the Damned.
She is.
Yeah.
Which made me want to bust everything in my house because I love those books so much. She was really young when she died, right? She was like in her 20s, wasn't she?
Yeah, about, I think. Yeah, early to mid-20s.
Man. All right, so that's Aaliyah for Javon, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play.
22.
She was 22, man. That sucks. 22. Jeez. All right. So that's Triple Play Thursday. It's Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. Here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell. 6 o'clock is Steve Cochran. We are talking about workplace movies and workplace television shows. What are the most accurate and inaccurate in terms of that? And Phil Rosenthal put together a list just a few weeks ago when Gary Shandling passed away, saying that perhaps the best workplace TV comedy of all time was The Larry Sanders Show. And now, Phil's list isn't necessarily about whether they are accurate or not. They're just in terms of, like, that genre, workplace environment TV shows, how great they are. And in fact, The Larry Sanders Show is one of the best shows that's ever been on TV. We got some other ones on this list. The 815 area code says, and you can send your texts to tell us which ones are accurate, which ones are inaccurate, what are your favorites in terms of workplace movies and TVs. The cult classic Office Space nails it. The similarities between the characters and their behavior is exactly what goes on at my workplace. Real life is so funny. Yeah, Office Space is pretty great. And anybody who's ever worked in an office or temped or had to do any of that kind of stuff can definitely relate to some of the stuff in Office Space. And for about an hour, Office Space is great. Then it's the last half hour of the movie with the subplot, the embezzlement subplot and stuff that starts to take over the final part of the movie. It's still good. It's a really fun movie. It's a great movie. But for a while, but for like an hour, a solid hour, that movie is one of the best. But then that sort of embezzlement thing takes over. But also, not only does it cover, you know, what it's like to work like in a cubicle laden office, but it's also pretty good about waitressing in a chain restaurant with the pieces of flair that she would have, like Jennifer Aniston had to wear, and Mike Judge played her boss. So, and you know, I mean, what rap song is playing? What gangster rap song is playing when they take the fax machine out and beat the hell out of it with the baseball bat?
It's good to be a gangster.
It's good to be a gangster. Yeah, that's a classic scene. I mean, it's classic. How about when the guys are driving to work and it's taking them like 10 hours to get to work, and the woman, the old lady or something, is beating them? She's got a walker. She's like going faster than the car is moving. And then one of the guys he's a white guy. He's blasting rap, and I guess it's a car full of black guys pulls up next to him. He turns the music down and rolls the window up. Oh, Mike Judge. You got to love Mike Judge. You got to love him. Of course, he almost predicted the future with Idiocracy. I mean, that movie is now, it's gone from outrageous, ridiculous satire to could be a documentary soon. With how stupid people are in this country. Esmeralda, have you seen Idiocracy?
Yes, I have.
It's so good.
So depressing.
Oh, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. Yeah. The thing about Mike Judge, you know, with the exception of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, his creative output has largely been ignored either for a very long time. It takes a long time for people to discover it. Like Office Space. When Office Space came out, it bombed. But then years later, people picked up on it. Idiocracy is a movie that was way ahead of its time and unbelievably funny. And this is a true story. You know, when Idiocracy was released in 2006, God, it's 10 years ago. I think it was 2006. I think. When Idiocracy was released in 2006... 20th Century Fox so dumped it, they just didn't care about it. They released it with, there were no commercials, there were no ads, nothing. And I am not making this up, in the newspaper, I went to go see it, Heather and I, my ex-wife and I went to go see it, and we went to the City North over there on the Western by the Kennedy, and, because I knew it was coming out, and in the newspaper, you open up the news. Remember those days when you'd open up the newspaper, look in the newspaper to find out what time a movie started? But in the newspaper, it said Untitled Mike Judge Project. That was the name that they listed. Because for a while, it wasn't called Idiocracy. And, you know, they were trying to get it. They didn't title it Idiocracy. He didn't title it Idiocracy until maybe a month before its release or something. And 20th Century Fox didn't care enough to even give the right title to publicize it. It was called Untitled Mike Judge Project in the newspaper. Now, I knew it was called Idiocracy because I was following along because I love Mike Judge. But yeah, Untitled Mike Judge Project is what it said. And on the marquee, it said that. Like on the little LED sign. No, it's called Idiocracy. So stupid. All right, so Larry Sanders is the first one on the list. Then Mary Tyler Moore, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Now that's one of those shows where the boss isn't an idiot. Look, because Lou Grant's not an idiot. Ted Baxter's an idiot. But Luke, but of course, and he's the most successful of everybody on the staff, which of course says something. Mary Tyler Moore, that's such a great show. Groundbreaking show, too. Esmeralda, you've watched Mary Tyler Moore, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Such a good show. And next on the list is Taxi, which is still one of my favorite shows. Taxi is still one of my favorite shows. Now, I asked Dimitri, my old buddy Dimitri Samaroff, who drove a taxi for a long time, if that was accurate. And he said obviously it's different now. But it's the same kind of thing, and it is accurate. Sitting around waiting. But yeah, he said it was pretty accurate. And that show, I mean, the characters on that show, on Taxi, were just phenomenal. I could watch that show. That's one of those shows that I could watch over and over and over again, and it's still funny. 773 area code says Barney Miller, and this is over the years I've been doing this. Whenever I talk about movies or TV shows that are accurate in terms of workplace stuff, whatever cops listen to this show always mention Barney Miller as being really accurate. Because it's, you know, like most cop shows, they're running around on, you know, jumping over roofs and stuff and shooting guns and solving crimes in 60 minutes. But most of what they do in Barney Miller, where they sit around and they wait, and they're bored, and they do paperwork, and they answer phones, and they drink a lot of coffee. That's exactly what a lot of guys who were on the job say it was like. So Barney Miller, very accurate. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number and text. Send us your text and give us your calls about that. We got a bunch of texts coming in. We'll go back to Phil Rosenthal's list of workplace TV shows as well. Once again, I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing.
It's Rock the Boat.
Rock the Boat is by the Hughes Corporation. Damn it.
Oddly enough, this video, this was her last video, and this is where, coming back from this, because they were in like some tropical island.
Coming back from the shoot, right?
Right, yeah. That's where the plane crashed.
And that's Aaliyah requested by Javon on Triple Play Thursday. So Esmeralda, in just a little bit, we're going to be taking that Breakfast Club quiz. Are you getting ready for that?
Oh yeah,
come on. All right, we got some texts coming in. 331 area code says Police Academy movies are mostly unlike that. Oh really? I thought the Police Academy movies were incredibly accurate.
What? Every police precinct doesn't have a guy making noises?
Yeah. You know, if you want a guy who can recreate gunshot noises and sirens.
Or their own Steve Guttenberg.
Mike, you know, what was his name in that movie? McGillicuddy or something? Or McGillicuddy, McGugan, McGugacuddy, McClugy? I can't. I think it started, it was like a McGoogie Googly. Yeah.
Mahoney.
Mahoney, see? I knew it. I was close. McGillicuddy, McGoogacluddy. That's close to Mahoney. Those movies suck.
I've never seen one in its entirety.
Oh, God. They're terrible. I can't even, the first one sucks, too. Everybody is like, oh, no, the first one's good. No, it's not. The funniest one was the first time Bobcat was in it. So that would be part two, because Bobcat Goldthwait doesn't show up till the second. And he was funny in those movies. But 309 Erico says, Food Incorporated is a biased and incorrect portrayal of modern farming. Farmland does a much better job at telling our story. People love technology but think farmers should still be old MacDonald had a farm. Ooh. All right. 224 area code says, come on, Nick, your bar wasn't like Coyote Ugly. Oh, God.
You weren't dancing on the bar?
No.
And then spraying people when they wanted water?
No, I didn't do that. You wouldn't want me to dance on the bar. God, did I hate that movie. Oh, my God, did I hate that movie. Um, 815 area code says, Adrienne Curry of My Fair Brady is the pride of Joliet.
No, she's not. I'm sorry, but no.
No, I don't think. Well, wasn't there like an episode where, didn't they move to Joliet or something at one point?
Because she's from there. I actually went to high school. I went to junior high with her. I think she was a year ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I remember her vaguely. But no, she's not the pride of Joliet.
No.
Goodness gracious.
No, Andy Dick is much more pride worthy.
And there's, what's his face from Smashing Pumpkins, the drummer.
I don't know who. Dan would know.
I can't remember his name right now.
Not James Iha, is it?
No. No, he's from the Western suburbs.
Huey Lewis?
Yeah, it's Huey Lewis.
Okay.
What are you...
I don't know who the drummer is. I know that my ex-wife looked exactly like the woman in that band for a while. There was a time period when my ex-wife, Heather, had like really blonde hair, and she looked exactly like whoever.
Jimmy Chamberlin.
Darcy. Yeah, she looked exactly like her.
Jimmy Chamberlin.
He's the drummer.
Joliet.
He's from Joliet.
Yes. Also, okay. Anthony Rappaport is from Joliet.
Anthony Rappaport?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, that's right. From Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, which is way more of a pride.
Yeah. That's
Adrian
right.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
No, not Adrian Brody.
What's her name?
Curry.
Curry. Ugh. No.
All right. Len says, I was a pit trader in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and the movie Trading Places, the scene at the end where everyone is yelling and screaming at each other's faces, was the way it used to be done. Not the part where people were watching the report on TV, though. That was BS. Okay. Julie says, Nick, The Office was on point for sales, specifically Jim being on sales phone calls and Michael putting the finger on the button to end the call for a meeting on how to increase sales. And David Koechner as Todd Packer, there's a guy that like that in every sales group. James and Elk Grove, the promotion with John C. Reilly. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, what a great movie. What a great, great movie, The Promotion. If you've not seen this, because, yes, this is absolutely true. Working at a market store seemed decent when it's hell on earth, especially during the holidays. Having worked at the Jewels for 11 years, The Promotion is spot on. Spot on. And if you've not seen this movie, and it's a movie that tanked, shot here in Chicago, John C. Reilly, Sean William Smith.
Scott.
Stifler. He's in it. It is a terrific movie and very accurate in terms of what it's like to be working in a grocery store. Very accurate. I'm so glad James brought that one up. That is such a good movie. If you guys, I'm sure either of you have never seen it, right?
You know, I was going to start watching it. It was on like Channel 9.
Yeah. You're going to want to watch it on. You're going to want to watch
it. I think
I
was watching it too on Channel 9.
And then I just kind of, I was like, nah.
I watched like 5-minute increments. Like I watched like the scene with Jenna Fisher and then like, and then the end with the flipping and all that.
Yeah. Fred Armisen is in it. They go to like a retreat. Jason Bateman. Oh my God. It's such a great movie. Seriously. It's a really, really great movie. And both those guys are phenomenal in it. John C. Reilly and Sean William Scott, phenomenal. Tony Fitzpatrick, our good friend Tony Fitzpatrick, is in that movie as a cop. Real stretch. Tony playing a Chicago cop.
By the way, this in from Mary, morning show producer, Adrienne Curry is gross.
Yeah, no, I could have told you that.
What? Why all the hatred for Adrienne Curry?
Just...
I mean, I'm not defending her. I know the only thing I know is that she ended up with a Brady.
Yeah, which is fine. I didn't mind her when she was on America's Next Top Model. She won. She won the first.
Oh, that's what her claim to fame is.
Exactly.
I knew she was a model. I didn't know.
But then it just kind of, I don't know. She just seems, yeah, she does. She just seems gross.
Okay. I don't know. I just know the reality show on VH1. That's the only thing I know her from. They met on one of those other shows, right? Didn't they meet on like Surreal Life or something?
Yes.
They were all in the same hut, living together?
Yes, in the same house.
With Flavor Flav?
I think so, actually. I think they were that group.
Yeah. And Flavor Flav and Bridget Nielsen were in the same house. And then they ended up, like, dating or something. And then that's when Flavor of Love began. Boy, that was the best show ever. Wasn't Flavor of Love the greatest show that has ever been on television? Oh, my God, did I love that show. All right, we have to take a break. All right, I've got more of these. I'm going to hang on, hold off on these for a little while here. I got more to talk about, but we're going to take a break here for the news, and then when we come back, we're going to take the old Breakfast Club quiz, and we'll tell you if you guys want to play along. We'll give you the website that you can go to. You can take it along with us. All right, we're going to break. News is next. It's Nick DiGilio and WGN. Yeah. Yeah, another song I've never heard before in my life.
I do not know Aaliyah. How is that? What?
I don't know her.
All right.
Javon for Triple Play Thursday. Yeah! Picked Aaliyah. All right. We got a Blackhawks Express to play. Not a good one. Is it really short, Dan? I mean, I know it went to OT, but there was only one goal scored in four periods. Well, three periods and one third. So, and of course it went to OT. Of course, that's just, you know, the Blackhawks playoff game. Oh yeah, forgot. Are you okay there?
No, sorry. I never know if these things move. The microphones.
They should move.
Which way they move?
Well, you can move that part if you need to.
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. If you want to switch mics, switch mics.
No, it's fine.
Okay. All right. So are you ready to do this quiz?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just about the Breakfast Club. It's about the entire John Hughes universe. As I mentioned before, when I was talking with Dan Feinberg,
mm-hmm.
This documentary on CNN that's been running now for 2 weeks. It runs tonight, in fact, at 8:00. It's called The 80s. And
okay.
it's a running miniseries, obviously, about the 1980s. And I think it's pretty great. As part of this, the CNN has put up at CNN.com, you can find the 80s and get to the quiz if you'd like to take it with us. And we'll find out what characters we are. Dan's going to take it, right, Dan?
Yes.
Esmeralda's going to take it.
And I'll input your choices, Esmeralda, on my computer.
Oh, I can.
Oh, you got it.
She's got it right in front of her.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Ducky, Bender, Jake, or Claire. Which John Hughes character are you? That's the title of the quiz. So if you'd like to play along with us, go to CNN.com and take the quiz with us. We'll do it on the air right here. And it's on our Facebook page. If you'd like to go there right now, it's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Go to Facebook.com/Nick D Show right now. Click onto that, and you can play the quiz along with us and find out which John Hughes movie character from the 80s you are. 312-981-7200 phone number, but check it out on Facebook, Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay, you guys ready
mm-hmm.
to start? Question number one. What club were you a part of in high school? Sports teams, the popular ones, I don't do clubs, or the yearbook? Dan?
I was not yearbook, but I was the school newspaper, so I will vote yearbook.
You'll vote yearbook, okay. Esmeralda?
I don't do clubs.
Okay, I don't either. So we're both saying I don't do clubs.
Yes.
Number two, what was your favorite 80s music? AC/DC, Duran Duran, Bon Jovi, or Madonna? Dan?
Mary and I are living on a prayer.
And Mary just did a yeah into the camera. Okay, what about you?
I'm going to go Madonna.
You're going to go Madonna. I got to, you know what?
I love Duran Duran, but I love more Madonna than Duran Duran.
Okay, well, I do too, but I'm thinking in the 80s. And in the 80s, I was much more of a Duran Duran guy than a Madonna guy. Now, it's all Madonna. Now, she's my future ex-wife. So I'm going Duran Duran. I got to go Duran Duran. All right, what's your ideal lunch? Burger and a shake, cold pizza and a beer, Kraft mac and cheese and a Capri Sun, sushi and a soda. Okay? Dan?
I will go burger and a shake.
Okay.
Sushi and a soda.
Okay. You're going to get Claire. I got to go with burger and a shake. I mean, I love mac and cheese, but not Capri Sun. So Burger and a shake, I'm going. All right. You complete your ensemble with, oh, come on, look at this one. What do you think I'm going to pick here?
Yeah.
You complete your ensemble with what shoes? Black boots, unlaced, Converse high tops. I don't care as long as they're not boring, and I don't care as long as they're expensive. Dan?
I will probably go Converse high tops.
Okay.
Converse.
All of us saying Converse high tops. Will you see what
I would have said the black
boots. You see what I have on right now?
No, there you go. Yeah. I would have said the black boots, but they're unlaced, which I don't know how that even works.
Okay.
You wear a shoe with no laces.
Well, it's probably zipper. It's got a zipper.
No, I think they're just being cool with no laces.
Okay.
Like Bender.
Oh, I see. Bender had the shoes on, the boots without laces. I see. Okay. All right. Which TV show would you rather watch? Cheers, Family Ties, Murder, She Wrote, MacGyver. Dan?
When I was of this age, it was Family Ties.
Okay.
So I love Family Ties.
Esmeralda?
You know, I want to go Family Ties.
Okay.
Between that or MacGyver, but I think Family Ties.
Okay. Cheers is not even, it's not even a question in my mind. What is your dream car? Ford F-150, a bike, a BMW, or a Porsche? Dan?
BMW.
Okay.
Porsche.
I got to go Porsche as well. By the way, I'm showing Risky Business, speaking of the 80s, at the MovieCo Theater on May 3rd. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's going to be a very, very, very special night. Go to MovieCo.com. May 3rd, 8 o'clock it starts, $10. Parking is free. Risky Business on the big screen. All right, pick your guilty pleasure snack. Jell-O pudding pops, you see, with the goo and the pizza and the Jell-O pudding pop, you understand. Theo! Cool Ranch Doritos. Pop Rocks or Handy Snacks? Okay, Dan?
I have to go Handy Snacks.
Handy okay. Snacks.
I got to go Cool Ranch Doritos. Handy Snacks are pretty good, though, but I'm going Cool Ranch Doritos. Okay. Your signature accessory is piercings, Ray-Bans, killer shoes, or a quirky hat? Okay.
Wow.
Dan?
I guess quirky hat.
Okay. Esmeralda?
I'll do killer shoes.
Okay. I got to go Ray-Bans. What is your favorite 80s movie? Well, Raiders, Risky Business isn't on here. This is nil. What is your favorite 80s movie? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, wow. Raging Bull, Broadcast News, The Big Chill. Three of these are hard to choose from. One isn't. Okay, Dan?
I'll go Raiders.
Okay.
Same.
I got to go... Oh man, I'm going Broadcast News. I know that's very weird, but I'm going Broadcast News. All right. On the weekends, you like to spend your time thrift shopping, learning French, working out, or creating graffiti.
I was a nerd, so I'll put learning French.
Okay.
Thrift shop.
All right. None of these. I guess thrift shopping. I guess because none of that crap interests me. All right. What is your dream job? Wall Street magazine editor, indie record label owner, or a roadie?
Teenage me would put indie record label owner.
Okay.
Same.
Okay. Same here, indie record label owner. Okay. And this, I believe, is the last question. Which 80s phrase do you use the most? Gag me with a spoon, nice play, Shakespeare. Eat my shorts or take a chill pill?
I still use take a chill pill.
Okay. Esmeralda?
I want to say gag me with a spoon.
Gag me with a spoon. Mine would absolutely be nice play, Shakespeare. All right. So now we should find out who we are. Okay? Oh, man. All right. I am not happy. Not happy with my choice. Okay. Dan?
I am Jake Ryan from 16 Candles.
Wow! Good for you!
I am an 80s high school dream. I'm perfect on paper, easy to like, and a secret romantic.
Look at that! Dan is Jake! Yay! All right, Esmeralda?
I am Claire Standish from The Breakfast Club.
I knew it! Between the sushi and the shoes, that was going
to
do it.
But that's about it. Because this is, you rule the school, you like the finer things in life, but there's more to you than what's on the surface.
Yeah.
I did not rule the school
okay.
at all.
All right. I'm Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
That shocks me.
It shocks me, too.
You with your thrift store and your Converse sneakers.
Yeah, you're a little offbeat, a little nerdy. You've never quite fit in, but that's because you're not. But you're not afraid to be yourself.
Oh.
I am so not Ducky. I'm also not Blaine, either. I'm nobody from that movie. You know who I am in the... I've told you this already. In the John Hughes universe, I'm Carl, the janitor. And proud of it, man.
It would have been amazing if just Carl the janitor came
That would have been fantastic. Are you kidding me? John Capolos' face pops up after that
like
quiz?
Some weird Easter egg thing you opened up.
That's who I most identify with is Carl the janitor in any of the movies. All right. Well, that was cool. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a Blackhawks Express from game number one. Remember, it's a 7-game series. I predicted the Hawks in 6, so everybody, it's okay. So we got that, and then we'll wrap up more with these the workplace TV shows. And if you have any texts left over, send them to us at 312-981-7200. So we've got some texts here about those workplace things.
Mm-hmm.
Derek says Nick Offerman is the pride of Joliet.
No, he is not. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Is Nick Offerman from Joliet?
No, he's from Minooka, which is like a town or two over.
Exactly. I knew he was because I know Nick, and I knew Nick from when he was with Defiant Theater.
Yeah, he's not from Joliet.
He's not from Joliet. He was from Minooka.
So we can't claim him.
No.
Just trust me, I would if I could.
No, absolutely. If he was from Joliet, without question, he would be the pride.
He would be the pride.
No,
exactly.
There's no question.
But no. Sadly,
Ron Swanson? Come on!
He would love Joliet.
Are you kidding? By the way, if you ever remind me at some point to show you, I should bring in a copy. I have a copy of one of Nick's headshots from the late 80s.
Ooh.
I'll describe it to you off the air.
Okay.
No, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. And you know, I think actually if you Google Nick Offerman headshot, it might come up. I think somebody has put it online. But this was an actual headshot. It's an actual headshot that he did. And he, you know, would use it. All right. 312 says, I'm a real estate broker, and I have never seen realtors portrayed accurately in the movies or on TV. Did you see you saw the headshot?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not really... Yeah, more ways than one.
He actually
not safe for work, by the way.
No, it's not safe for work. No, it's not. Let me just say that right now. It's not safe for work. But no, that's a real. He had that. That's a real headshot, and he used that on auditions. I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. And I have a copy of it at home. Okay. All right. We have to find out what's going on the opening bell this morning. Here's Steve. Hi, Steve.
Okay. Two things. I think I'm in trouble now because I got a thing on my screen that says you need to see HR. You've been going to pornography.
Yeah.
Number one. And then number two, I was taking your quiz on the way in, and somehow I ended up being Claire. I'm not sure how.
Claire?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, you and Esmeralda were both Claire.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea how I ended up being Ducky. I have no idea. Again, I should have been Carl the janitor. So
I don't think I should have been Claire.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. coming up in the opening bell, we're going to get that just ahead on the opening bell.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. Okay. You're just still reeling over that headshot, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, no, I read a little. There was something in the images that said why he did it.
Yeah.
So. Oh, boy.
Nick's a good guy, man. He's a crazy dude. He really is, and I couldn't be happier for his success. Sean in Wisconsin says, Sanford and Son, I'm guessing that's exactly how a father-son junkyard runs. Yeah. That's got to be pretty accurate. 574 area code says, what do you think of Murphy Brown? My favorite episode of Murphy Brown was when Kramer guest starred on it. That's from an episode of Seinfeld. He ended up on Murphy Brown.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The two-part episode where he goes to L.A. He ends up on Murphy Brown.
Oh.
I'm a truck driver. I've never seen a movie that comes close to the truck driving, what it's really like, especially Ice Road Truckers. That's nothing but crap. Okay.
Although, isn't that, like, they're on literal ice roads like in Alaska somewhere.
Yeah. I mean it's a reality show for whatever that's worth. So and this is the best one of the morning. I saved the best one of the morning. This is 574 area code. The Flintstones is completely accurate for working in a quarry. That's right. You slide down the brontosaurus's tail
right.
when the bell rings.
You've never seen them?
No.
The construction dinosaurs? I see them all. We got quarries in Joliet. They're all over the place.
The Flintstones is the most accurate for working in a quarry.
I've had a good brontosaurus burger.
And you know, when the actual lunchtime bell is, they do pull a bird's tail.
Yeah.
And the bird goes, ah!
My mom has a what is it, seagull dishwasher? Or was
oh, no, pelican.
Pelican, there we go. Yeah. We're very close to the quarries.
Oh, God. All right. Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow. Fly James
see
Friday.
You tomorrow.
All right. We'll be right back.